AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday, although it feels like a Monday, that's for sure. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205 is the phone number. We'll mention, Sam is here. Sam, you have a nice Memorial Day weekend.
It's pretty well, I'd say.
You know, went well. I was up in Duluth. Got up to the range a little bit there. It was nice. It was actually delightful by Lake Superior. That cool breeze you occasionally got was, made up for it, that's for sure. So I hope you had a good day out there. I will say we're going to keep track of the weather here just a little bit. I'm going to make sure I mention it looks really stormy off to the east right now. I wouldn't be surprised if you're going to see some storms this afternoon with all the heat that's in the air. Heat advisory going on this afternoon. You've got radar starting to show some storms firing off in the east side of the metro, as well as coming in towards the west metro too. So anticipate that. Got a chance of some storms this afternoon into the evening, and some severe storms tonight. 69 is the overnight low. We'll get to that a little bit more in just a moment. But joining us for Democrat of the Day today from 64A and also running for the governor's seat for the DFL ticket, Aaron Murphy is kind enough to join us today to be our Democrat of the Day. Representative, thank you very much.
Hi, Matt McNeil. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I hope you had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. I imagine there was a lot of door knocking, a lot of handshaking going on as you're obviously working for that governor's race.
I did spend a fair amount of time over the weekend working in pursuit of the office of governor, but I also spent a little time reflecting on Memorial Day and those who gave their lives in service to the country. And so I had a good Memorial Day weekend, and I hope that you did too.
I did. And I do want to, obviously an important element of that, taking time and reflecting here. If we could reflect on a different issue, just really briefly, I would like, because I've talked to Melissa Hortman, I've talked to a few other people here, and now that we're a week past the end of that, the legislative session here, just your position in the House, it obviously gives you a good viewpoint, your thoughts on what happened there with the Republicans?
Well, I think the Republicans clearly came into the session with their eye on one thing, and that was how to position themselves for this upcoming election, how to extract votes, how to move the things that they'd hoped to do in enormous combined bills in such a way that gave Governor Dayton either the option to sign into law things that he didn't agree with and would be bad for the state and our budget, especially that tax bill that they wanted him to sign, pairing that with education funding, was, a leverage point and not a point of leadership on their part at all. And the result of that posture means that there were some important things that should have been done for Minnesotans, for our schools, that didn't get done. That was their gambit. It didn't serve Minnesotans, and Minnesotans are acutely aware of that. So that's what I have to say about the session. It's frustrating for me. It is frustrating for Minnesotans for sure. And we need a better kind of leadership, a better kind of government, and we need to make some progress for the people of Minnesota.
Well, and this brings us back to the governor's race here. Your experience dealing with these Republicans, this is not like Republican parties of the past anymore. These are agenda-driven. I made the point of they take the most extremist point of view and then act as if not being a complete extremist is somehow compromise. And they constantly try to put these dirty tricks into these bills where they're trying to, basically force the governor's hand, Governor Dayton in this case, to make him force him to sign bills that he doesn't want to sign by putting poison pills in the bill. Quite literally, the ag bill had a poison pill where we got rid of the nitrate standards in groundwater, for goodness sakes. And so, having your knowledge there, we need to have someone in this governor's office that's going to expect these dirty tricks and these double crosses.
I will say that the years of experience now, 12 in elected office and much of that in leadership in the House, and all of the beautiful opportunity I've had to talk with Minnesotans all over the state for the last 12 years, those are the things that have prepared me to do the job. I know how to balance our budget. I know that skill of negotiating. I actually know how to work with and have successfully worked with Republicans when I was the majority leader. That's how we got our work done and got it done on time, by working with the minority leader, then Kurt Dowd, so that we were clear about how we were going to operate in concert with one another, with the eye on getting done on time. That was important. But I do think that we're in a place that is unusual for Minnesota. It feels like the politics is more like Washington, D.C., and we have to break that bad habit here in the state of Minnesota. And I think the antidote to it, it really rests with the people of Minnesota. And as I have been campaigning now for the last 18 months for the office of governor, I see in the people of Minnesota both real possibility and real hope, and an appetite to do more than what is happening right now in order to change the trajectory of our state and to change the course of our future.
Oh, I would make a grand argument that Democrats have made their case. I mean, you take back the House. The Senate is up for grabs this time around because of that one seat. Michelle Fischbach has resigned her seat, so that is up for grabs. And, of course, having a fine DFLer like Aaron Murphy in the governor's mansion would be, that would, I think people would remind her, that's right, that things work so well under Democrats.
Yeah, I think it is always our job to present to Minnesotans a vision for our future. And for me, it is an honest vision, a progressive vision. I think we need to show Minnesotans, one, that there is something more in front of us that represents progress for people, strong public schools, single-payer health care, investing again in our infrastructure, but also taking on the tough issues that we face because we face them. And that requires, you know, a different kind of politics, a hopeful kind, this cynical behavior that we saw emanating from the Republicans in the last session is endemic of what's wrong right now in our politics. And we're not gonna build our future with that. We're just gonna like careen from election to election, but not really do the work of Minnesotans. And I don't want that for us. I want to build our future, and I know to do it and to do it well has to be in partnership with the people of Minnesota, and that's my aim.
Absolutely. Aaron Murphy is joining us, of course, running for governor here, and House Rep just getting done through with her session there. With the convention coming up here, I want to give some people some time here. You know, remind people why, again, you're running.
Because I want to build our future. I believe in a kind of politics that improves people's lives, and when we invest in that and in one another, we can take on any tough issue. We are, frankly, unstoppable. And I have seen in my career, first as a nurse and then working with the nurses and then as a legislator, when we have made significant change, significant progress, it has always been in conjunction with a movement with the people of Minnesota. When we passed Minnesota Care, when we passed marriage equality, when we raised the minimum wage, all of those significant efforts came as a result of organizing on the ground, building the support for those ideas with the people of Minnesota. It's something I'm good at. It's something that I believe in. And I believe doing just that with the people of Minnesota will allow us to build a future that includes all of us in the state of Minnesota. And it's time for us to believe in again in that kind of politics and actually take it on.
You are chalking up a fine list of endorsements here. Of course, you've got numerous groups that have backed you up. You're showing a pretty wide appeal here, which is quite impressive.
Thank you. I'm really proud of the coalition that we're building. It is a representation of the state of our broad interests. I'm also excited because so many of the organizations that are supporting this campaign are the organizations that do the very work that I think is necessary to win an election and to govern well. There are organizations that are progressive, there are labor organizations. You know, we've got Women Winning, NARAL, AFSCME and SEIU, the Minnesota Nurses Association, of course, for the very first big labor organization to endorse this campaign, Outfront Minnesota, Take Action Minnesota. And, you know, there's a group of Faith in Minnesota delegates that I'm real hopeful about, that I hope that they see in me the candidate who can co-create and govern with them, and that they choose to support this campaign as well.
Of course, you've been traveling around the state when you've had time. Obviously, you're doing your due diligence in the legislature. Now that the session's over, you've been heading out around the state. It has been interesting because this governor's, whoever becomes the governor, is going to have to deal with considering our international trade issues, whether that's steel, whether that's agriculture, We have a president that seems destined to destroy both of those industries as best as he can. As the announcement today that Trump was going to go through with the tariffs, which once again was causing China to basically move away from soybean purchases from the United States. I've heard from numerous people in the media in outstate Minnesota. They've said the same exact thing, that these farmers that might have supported Trump, they're incredibly concerned that their entire livelihood is about to get annihilated because of this. Talk about the role of a governor, because once again, then it becomes on you to basically find markets for the products here and making sure that farmer has that market available, even though the president of the United States might be a relative buffoon at this sort of international trade issue.
Well, I think the current president is doing exactly what he said he was going to do. So we shouldn't be surprised by that, but we do have to look out for our interests. And so you're talking about trade and international trade, and I think with our ag economy and with our farmers, one, we're going to have to continue to seek markets despite what he's doing, and we're going to have to be innovative and think about what else we can grow and take to market. Let's develop some markets or find our way into new markets in order to do that, to protect our people, right, to protect their livelihoods, and to make sure that the economies across the state are growing and flourishing. And he is absolutely going to make that harder for us. And we know that there are farmers in the state of Minnesota who have already been struggling, right, with low commodity prices now for a couple of years. So I've got my eye on that. And it is, I think, really important that we recognize the conditions under which farmers in Minnesota are operating right now. And we are looking out not only for their livelihoods, but for their health and well-being as well. But it's not the only place that I'm worried about the Trump administration and their relationship with the states. I think about housing. I think about health care. I think about what Betsy DeVos is doing in education, and recognize that the states have always played a very, very strong role in the way that the United States is governed. And that strong role is only heightened under President Donald Trump. And Minnesota has always been a leader, and we need to continue to lead on the things that are important to us, on climate change, on making sure that everybody has access to health care. And we have a history of actually solving problems here, and I've seen it over and over again. And despite what's happening in Washington, we're going to fight for the well-being and the people of Minnesota, and I'm going to do that as the state's next governor.
You know, you brought up the education issue here, and it's such an important issue. Dealing with the federal government, also dealing with local Republicans who are fighting back against the Democrats on the issue. The University of Minnesota was just named the 35th best university in the world on a rating that I saw in the Star Tribune. On top of that, we have people that actually moved to Minnesota, a lot of people from Wisconsin, who are moving to Minnesota because our education is so much better than what they had where they were at before. Yet it doesn't. It never ceases to amaze me that we can look at something, the Republicans, and look at something that's operating well, that's doing well, and say, okay, now it's time to make cuts. Now it's time to not give the money for the basic advancements we need. Now is now the time to not take care of all the kids in the state of Minnesota. It really is a mind-numbing mentality when it comes to education from the right.
I will tell you that Minnesotans across the state support education. They support it in our strong public schools. They support early learning. And, of course, they support higher education, both community colleges and our universities. And Minnesota, under the leadership, air quotes around leadership, around the period of time when Tim Pawlenty was our governor, our universities and two-year schools really took a hit. As we emptied out reserve accounts, as the legislature did then before I was here, and spent the tobacco settlement money, and Republicans adhered to a no-new tax pledge. And then when we hit a recession, we were faced with a budget deficit after budget deficit after budget deficit. And rather than raising taxes to be able to pay for that, Governor Pawlenty insisted on cuts, and they came in the form of cuts to local government aid. We borrowed from our schools. We shifted funding from our obligation, the state's obligation, to our higher education institutions and to families and kids. And that's why they are carrying so much debt right now. So I see Tim Pawlenty stepping back onto the stage here in the state of Minnesota. And I served with him and know what he did. He wrecked our budget. He really destroyed Minnesota's economy. And we can't let him win again. And I have a pretty compelling story to tell about what we did and a really awesome alternative for what we can do together.
You, I imagine, are going to be visiting the beautiful Rochester area for the first, second, and third. Are you heading on down to the Mayo Center?
I'll be in Rochester beginning Thursday night, and I'm really looking forward to the convention. It is, of course, the culmination of months and months of work for the delegates who are going to come down to that convention and represent the interests of countless Minnesotans who have been participating in our politics, and specifically in this cycle since the election of Donald Trump. There are people who have not done this in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. You know, there are young people who've never voted before, who are organized and participating. There are women who marched and then became part of indivisible groups and book clubs. And all of that early organizing that came in the wake of the 2016 election has manifested in this delegation of people who are going to go to Rochester and make an endorsement in this important race. And I am working very hard every day to earn that endorsement, and I'm hopeful that we will earn that endorsement on Saturday.
It's a big weekend down in Rochester for the DFL. I know the Uptake will have a lot of coverage of this, as well as others. We'll look forward to your speeches and the comments as we get into the convention this weekend in Rochester. Aaron Murphy for governor. A reminder, go to murphyformn.com. That's Murphy, MURPHYFORMN.com for more information about her campaign to be governor of the state of Minnesota. Aaron, all my best down there. Have a great week. I hope it cooled down a little bit for you. And all my best as you head into Rochester, okay?
Thanks so much for making time for me, Matt. I really appreciate it.
No, really. Thank you for making time, because your schedule is far more hectic than mine, as I do appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Representative Aaron Murphy of 64A, to be proper, since we're doing Democrat of the Day, her district is 64A. She is, of course, running for the DFL nomination to be the governor of the state of Minnesota. She's headed to Rochester this weekend for the convention there, as they'll be looking to make the endorsement and determine whether or not we'll have a primary on the Democratic side. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. A lot to get to as well, including... I told you so with that damn stadium. I'll get to that in a second. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch, where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
Brending Electrolysis on Grand Avenue in St. Paul has been a leader in permanent hair removal for people of all skin types and backgrounds for over 30 years, celebrating diversity and priding themselves on finding the right treatment plan for each client's individual needs, regardless of race or gender. Services include electrolysis, body waxing, facials, microneedling, and permanent makeup. Book your 60-minute complimentary consultation, including a 15-minute treatment today, for beautiful, lasting results. Visit BrendingElectrolysis.com.
Someone asked if I really do love my Rudy Luther Toyota Sienna as much as I say I do. Well, this week I've got groceries, a Target run, 7 sports practices with carpooling for 4 of them, 2 games, 3 music lessons, 4-H, dance, helping a friend move. We'll also probably have 3 play dates. I'll have to drive to work, and I'll have at least 1 weekend family outing. Yes, it's a lot, but I get to do it all in relaxing comfort and style. Yes, I do love my Sienna, and you can fall in love for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
Did you know that tooth decay is the most common disease in America, and that over half the American population has some form of periodontal disease? Simply brushing and flossing don't seem to be enough. The abundant bacteria in your mouth thrive off sugar to produce acid and plaque. But what if you could actually prevent bacteria from converting sugar into the harmful byproducts responsible for tooth decay and periodontal disease? Daily Dental Care is a life sciences company that leverages our microbiology expertise to create oral care products that promote strong teeth, healthy gums, and fresh breath. Our lozenges safely and effectively neutralize harmful bacteria and their disease-causing byproducts like acid and plaque, without harming health-promoting bacteria that guard your mouth against the destruction that sugar causes. Supplement your daily dental hygiene routine with our convenient dental lozenges. Go to dailydentalcareswithans.com or Amazon to purchase and use promo code DDC95001 at checkout for a 25% discount on your first purchase.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Daily Dental Care lozenges are not intended to replace daily dental hygiene practices.
Generation Generators. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. The invite's been given to Tim Walz once again. I did talk to Democrat of the Day. Let's make sure I dot my I's and cross my T's on this one. I did talk to Rebecca Otto a few weeks back, and then as well now Aaron Murphy. Tim Walz, we put the call out to him if he wants to join us before this week is out. I'll make time for him. Rebecca Otto was on the 7th of May, and Aaron Murphy was today. 952-946-6205. I say this every time. We have an embarrassment of riches on the Democratic side this time. Three phenomenal candidates in Rebecca Otto, Aaron Murphy, and Tim Walz. And I'm going to be blunt. I know all three of these guys, and they're fantastic. All of them, I can easily make a 20-minute speech on each one of them on why they would be a great candidate for governor. I can. It's an embarrassment of riches. It's not often you see such a strong lineup on one side. We'll see what happens at the convention. Aaron Murphy, once again, find the interview spotlighted. Murphy4MN.com is the website you'll find her at as well. Gary Gerber is joining us. Welcome on in, Garrett.
Yeah, I got so many things to talk about. You'll have to cut me off.
Okay.
I was just down in a given Winterberry, and my folks grew up in farms down that way by New Ulm. And one of the strongest Democrats out there owns a little cafe in Winthrop, and she said, that these farmers, so many of them are Republican, and they're really hurting with the soybeans. You can't sell them like they used to. And anyways, but going back to Trump, he's bragging about this great economy. He inherited from Obama. I want to remind people, we wouldn't have an auto industry or all the million jobs that come with the auto parts industry wasn't for Obama. They didn't do a darn thing to help him save us from Bush's depression. And now we're headed that way again, and Trump put us in gear for that again.
Thank you, Gare. I will say, as far as the soybeans go, this is a mess. And once again, the markets have thought, okay, great. Trump's pulled back on this. Trump comes back out today and says, no, all the tariffs are going to be on for China. My guess is at least four or five times he's going to change his mind until he does figure it out. Part of me almost wonders, does he sit there like a, watch this, like a three-year-old flushing things down the toilet to see what happens when it goes down. That's what he feels like he's doing with the markets. Just messing around with them. Hey, you want to see oil go down a lot today? Flush it again. He's messing with a heck of a lot of people's livelihood. I mean, what are there? Probably a few hundred thousand, maybe a million people growing soybeans right now in the United States of America. Every one of them dependent on the market staying strong. And the main way that happens is if our trade partners are engaged and active in trade. And once again, China is a major source of our soybean shipments. And he doesn't seem too eager to basically make sure those relationships stay open. I mean, it's embarrassing beyond embarrassing how bad he is at this job. It really, truly is. And it is embarrassing to watch Republicans. These are not Democratic areas. I mean, we've already seen what happens when a hurricane hits a Democratic city and how the Republicans just don't care. We already seen that. But for the Republicans in these districts that are out there where it is, these are their farmers. These are their voters. And at no point are they saying, well, I'm going to make a call to the president and say, hey, what are we doing? You can't torpedo the soybean markets. Nope. I don't know. It is a mess. I got a lot to get to when I do return. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We now found out how much that Super Bowl brought to Minnesota. And if you were upset about the cost of that Viking Stadium before, wait till I get through this now, because we're never going to get paid back on this. We are never going to do that. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, Gregory Rich, host of Drink in the Style and owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design in St. Louis Park. I've got a question for you guys. Are you familiar with the concept of OPM, or other people's money? It's essentially using someone else's cash to buy what you want. Well, this week, Habitation is offering you a chance to use someone else's money to buy the furniture you want today. From May 23rd through May 29th, Habitation is offering 0% interest on all new in-stock and all special order items for a full 4 years. Seriously, that's 4 years of free financing. Zero, zip, nada, nothing. That means you can buy $5,000 worth of furniture for about $100 a month with absolutely no interest. So come out to Habitation at 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park to check out the coolest furniture showroom in town. Our prices are always great, but this financing deal is for a limited time only. Habitation Furnishing and Design, you've earned the right to be you. Some restrictions apply.
Saturdays at 1 p.m., you have a chance at a fresh start, a new beginning. Hi, everybody. This is Freddie Bell, host of New Beginnings. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Join us Saturdays at 1 p.m. for New Beginnings with Freddie Bell on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Matt from the Green Home Doctors. Did you know approximately 80% of our homes in our area are not sealed and insulated properly? A typical home has air leakage equivalent to that of a large open window. Green Home Doctors has treated thousands of homes with their special diagnostic equipment and can prescribe the appropriate remedy for your house. Stop air conditioning your whole neighborhood this summer. Call today and take advantage of rebates from Xcel Energy and CenterPoint Energy. Visit greenhomedr.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 94. Tonight, showers and storms with a low around 68. Wednesday, more showers and storms with a high near 83. And Thursday, partly sunny with a high around 84. Did you know that 80% of homes need help with air sealing and insulation? The Green Home Doctor will work with you to make your home less leaky and more comfortable in both the winter and summer. They use special equipment to test your airflow and make your home more comfortable. So stay cool this summer with the Green Home Doctor. Visit greenhomedr.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Drove back yesterday, by the way, from up in the range. I didn't do that bad. I heard some people say it was like 3 hours to get through the single lane at Pine City. I think it's at the Pine River there. But at Pine City, there's a bridge that's, you know, they can't reopen it. They're tearing out the bridge and putting a new bridge in, so it's single lane there. It took us about 45 minutes to get through that, but we left yesterday from up north at about 10:45. Oh, I mean, and my wife was like, should we get off? Should we get, you know, on the highway and just, you know, go to 65 and shoot south on that? I said, no, you know, this is not bad. And not me. She was looking at the radar as I was driving. She was looking and saying, it looks like it cleared up south of 70, which it did, and off we went. But that's that's going to be a mess all summer long. If you are driving north and you got to go 35 at Pine City, they got it single lane because of a bridge they're replacing. That bridge is not, that's going to be all summer long. There is not going to be a good time. My suggestion is just take the off times. Like, we'll go up on a Wednesday in the morning, which is really against traffic, and that's no problem usually. But you know, if you can do that at all, try to do it. It used to be, it got bad from like 1 until 4. Now it's like bad from 1 until like 7 or 8 at night. Even the people that do leave late, it's not a good drive. I should mention as well, what rain showers are popping up around the metro area. We had a line of storms that was pretty intense, right running 35W and towards the east from there. But now we have storm lines starting to pop up behind that to the west. Some real heavy storm line going really just to the east of Detroit Lakes all the way down to the east of Worthington. And that's moving towards the east. Of course, some storms moving through St. Cloud as well right now. So just anticipate some heavier storms. Is it a real surprise? I mean, it's 100 degrees outside. It's humid. I mean, it's da-da. It's making its own weather at this point. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Restaurant of the week, all of them. That's right. With the shortened week, we will feature all the restaurants. Go to EatLocalMinnesota.com. Pick a great restaurant, many of them locally owned, or they're all locally owned. You get a great local meal, and the money stays local. Ha, how about that? It's EatLocalMinnesota.com. That is the place. And once again, all the restaurants featured this week. Okay, so we're ready for Matt's Math Corner. It's time for Matt's Math Corner. We do this occasionally when it comes time to do some numbers. We're not afraid of numbers. It just is sometimes we have to. It becomes a little bit of a tedious thing. The report out, this is Fox 9 story. Super Bowl 52 brought more than $370 million in new spending to Minnesota, according to a report from the Minnesota Super Bowl Host Committee. So this is from the Super Bowl Host Committee. Super Bowl generated $450 million in gross local spending, $50 million more than the original estimate. After adjusting for displaced tourism, the study found $370 million of the $450 million was spent solely on local tourism. Now, I gotta tell you the truth. I'm pretty skeptical of this number. I'm gonna go with this number. I'll go with what they say. But I'm pretty skeptical because when you say local tourism, when you go to a gas station chain, that's not local tourism. When you go to a chain restaurant, that's not local tourism. Sure, a few bucks might end up in the hands of the grossly underpaid staff of the national chain hotel or the national chain rental car company. But really, if it's a national chain, that money is shipped out of this town at night. There is no money in town. Most of the money, like I said, sure, there's a job or two, some dimes and nickels that we make off a few people being employed, but there's a big difference between the EatLocalMinnesota.com guys. I mean, I talked about the bad waitress last week. They were the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week last week. You go spend money at the bad waitress, that's money staying local. And since they are trying to buy local and sustainable in the area, that's a double whammy. Do some people come into town for the Super Bowl, go to bad waitress? Yes, some did. Probably not a lot, but some sure did. And that's a good thing. That is a good thing. But I want to we'll just presume the 370 is it, because even at 370, oh man, really? This is the best you could do? Okay, the Super Bowl. This is a stadium. Let's, cut the crud. With all the auxiliary costs that were involved, parks, public pedestrian skyway ramps, roads that had to be upgraded, parking areas that had to be upgraded, stuff that wasn't involved with the Viking Stadium per se as it was, but stuff that was needed to get upgraded because of the Viking Stadium. So it wasn't necessarily part of their initial receipt. It was basically stuff that had to be done, the city had to do to basically upgrade around the facility, stuff like that. Giving up ad revenue on the trains and at train stations, stuff like that. We are close to $2 billion, $2 billion in the cost of that monstrosity, the Jawa Sandcrawler we have on the east side of downtown Minneapolis. $2 billion. Your marquee event. There is nothing that is going to get you more bang for your buck as far as local spending goes than the Super Bowl. It was in a facility designed for football. It is catered to football. It's a two-week orgy supporting football. It is football a go-go. They have things downtown. They had things at the Mall of America. It was everywhere. This is your Super Bowl, per se, as far as your amount of money that you're going to get out of it. And you only got $370 million of our $2 billion investment back on the marquee event. Okay, one of the next six Super Bowls, because we're going to need about five or six of them to offset the cost just to get us at the break-even point. Yeah, that's right. That's right. $370 doesn't even get us close. That's not even a quarter of the cost. And this is the greatest event. If you're going to make money at this facility, a U2 concert or Taylor Swift, I mean, they're nice, but what? What's the take-home gate on one of those? What's the local spending that's been initiated by a U2 concert in town or a Taylor Swift concert or the Rolling Stones coming through? What is the gate? Wait, a million in local spending? Okay, well, $1 million in local spending, okay? It was a $2 billion thing. You know, that's going to take us a while to make. That means we need to have 4,000 U2 concerts. Or is it 4,000? Excuse me, 2,000 U2 concerts. 2,000! We're not going to have 2,000 U2 concerts or Taylor Swift or whoever. We're not. You got $370. It's the guy that comes out of the casino. I won $37. Great. How much did you spend? $200? No, you didn't. You lost $163. You didn't win anything. It's... I don't know how else to say this. This is a massive loss of money. We are never going to get this back. What do you think? I mean, if you're only making $370 million on a two-week orgasm of football at that thing, where you have dedicated fan bases strolling on into this town, it made more. Don't look at the weather, Matt. The weather sometimes. No, we made more money than Houston and theirs, supposedly. I think they said they were 320. We were at 370. So the weather didn't play that much of an inhibitor. People came into town and they spent, but that's how much they spent, $370 million. What do you really think they make local spending-wise with a Vikings game? Seriously, most of the people live in the metro area as it is, so you're not getting a hotel room, you're not getting a rental car. And I'm not going to include spending at the stadium because most of that money goes right into the pockets of the wealthy. So how many people coming to any given Vikings game are staying at a local bed and breakfast or going to a local restaurant off the beaten path that's not a Perkins or an Embers or something like that or an Applebee's? How many? How, I mean, is there even a local rental car company? You're not, okay, I guess maybe you can do Lyft rides and stuff like that, but Uber. But, you mean, really? That's how you're going to make all your money back? My estimate would be $500,000. So let's just, let's do Matt's math corner, can we? All right, $2 billion. $2 billion, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. $2 billion, all right? Divided by, we'll divide that by $500,000. That's probably... per regular season Vikings game, okay? You know, just a regular season Vikings game, how much money you are making in additional spending that's actual local spending that you're encouraging. So divided by 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There you go. Equals, let's see. Well, yeah, let me figure out how to do this here once again. So like I said, I'm not very good at math. Divided by 500. There you go. Equals 4,000. So if I am having a regular season football game, it will take me 4,000 games if I am basically generating 500K in local spending. And once again, we're not talking about spending on chain restaurants. We're not talking about spending in the stadium itself. I'm talking about spending outside of the stadium that's local spending. And I think 500K is a real reach if you want to know the truth, but I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. How many games would it take to get to make back that $2 billion in investment? How much? How many games? 4,000. Divide that by, we'll make it 18 games a year. It will take 222 years of playing in the facility, 222 years of playing in the facility to get that money back. 222 years. And reminder, in 20 years, Ziggy or whoever owns the thing is going to be like, well, this is inadequate. It's time for me to go to St. Louis, and I'll start looking around and rubbing my chin and saying, yeah, I could see a Viking stadium here. Well, we've already gone over this with the caller called in, Sam. $1.2 billion, that's not including all the auxiliary stuff that had to be done, like pedestrian walkways and sewer upgrades and street upgrades that had to be done and ramp upgrades and stuff like that for the interstate. That's not part of this bill. Parks, for God's sakes, how many parks and trees we had to plant for this thing? $1.2 billion for the facility itself, not for the auxiliary stuff. So it's not going to make it, even if it was $1.2 billion, even if it was, we're not going to get anywhere near paying this thing for this thing. This thing, most of the players, well, Matt, players get paid tax. They get paid a lot of money and then they pay their taxes. They don't live here. They live in Texas and they live in Florida. We're not getting any money from them. A few, a handful of them, sure, and salute to them, but not really. Once again, people getting paid minimum wage or a few dollars more, we're talking coins. We're not talking, we're going to pay off $2 billion. You need to have at least $3 billion in local sales improvements to justify a return on investment of $2 billion to a billionaire. You have to. And right now, even with their marquee event, even with their number one thing, the most we got is $370 million. We're not going to pay for this. No amount of regular season games. Like I said, we would have to play 222 years and sell out every game for 222 years, including the preseason games. 222 years to basically generate enough game day additional spending in the community to offset this cost, this investment by us. And once again, in 20 years, not 222, but in 20 years, Ziggy's going to be like, I think we need a new stadium. I think this is inadequate. This is inadequate, and we better build a new stadium, and this one's going to be $4 billion. This is never going to make the money back. And what you need to do is the following thing. Anytime anyone says, oh, why are you wasting my taxpayer dollars feeding the hungry? The first words out of your mouth I want you to be are, hey, were you for the Viking Stadium? And when they go, football, I think it's just a great facility, football, then they say, shut up, you can't talk about taxes anymore because you basically threw $2 billion at a billionaire, and we will never get paid back this money. Never. It's never coming back. It's never coming back. And we're never going to get close to that. No, it's not going to happen.
And then these owners like to turn around, and when it comes to kneeling or something, they're like, oh, but we're a private organization. We can do whatever we want, but we'll take our $2 billion and then be a private organization.
Yeah, very much so. No, the cost, I was pretty much the only person. The Star Tribune ran there, is it really worth this kind of cost the day after the money was approved? Patrick Royce was the only other person I ever heard prior to the Viking Stadium bill being voted on. Only other person I heard in this town saying, man, that's a lot of money. And all these people that all of a sudden complain about, you're wasting my taxpayer dollars feeding that hungry kid, were all of a sudden like, football, if we don't build a football stadium, they're going to plow under all the buildings. And our city will cease to exist. And I might have to root for the Packers. I can't do it. God. Are you all this stupid? Are you really just this stupid? I mean, that you're going to spend this kind of money, that you're going to sign off on this, and at no point did you ever ask the question, hey, yeah, if they're only making $300 million to $400 million back on the Super Bowl, how the hell are we going to make any of the money back on the stadium? I'm waiting. When are we having our next three or four Super Bowls? Because we're going to need at least three or four of them to make the money back on the stadium. That's before any renovations to the stadium or upgrades to the stadium. This is not my numbers. These are theirs. $370 million. That's all they got from the Super Bowl. That's all they got on that monstrosity. Well, it's nice to have it in town. When are you going to make it back? You going to make it back on Gopher baseball? You going to make it back on one of these European soccer matches that they have over there? Is the truck pull coming to town? You're not making the money back. We've lost. My guesstimate is somewhere going to be around $1 billion in the hole. We are going to lose $1 billion because we decided to build a $2 billion mecca to a billionaire. And right now, there are people out there that are screaming, I don't care, I'll go football. Well, then you officially should be ignored on all political things, because if you've ever dared to talk about taxes and said, we have to be fiscally responsible, well, you did the most irresponsible thing one could ever imagine. You basically gave a billionaire $2 billion and then acted like we did something great. Imagine what we could have done with $2 billion in schools, in the environment, on roads. $2 billion. Imagine. And by the way, we're never winning the Super Bowl. That damn team is cursed. 952-946-6205. Speaking of cursed, let's talk Trump when we come on back. It is getting really ugly. It's one thing that he's failing on economic policy. It's other that he's failing on the humanity level. We'll talk about that when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug from Hidden Edges Radio. When I'm not on the radio, I'm standing in front of audiences training about diversity and inclusion and on how to be welcoming to others who are different from us. More than ever, employers and organizations need professional diversity and inclusion training. I can offer that training through my company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I'd love to make your workplace or organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
It's a great day for a bike ride. What's that? You can't find your bike? Oh, it has a flat. No problem. Take it to Nokomis Cycle, the hardest working bike shop in town. They're celebrating their 23rd year in business. In that time, they've mastered the art of friendly, dependable service. So keep life and your bike moving with Nokomis Cycle, working harder to make you go faster. Nokomis Cycle at the corner of 46th and Bloomington Avenue South in Minneapolis, or at nokomiscycle.com.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Our weekly Native American talk radio show will discuss national and local Native American news and events. Local and national guests will help us keep current with Mother Earth, tribal, and Twin City issues. Native American issues are human issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Listen Saturdays at 2 p.m.
I am awake.
Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens is the first green cemetery in Minnesota. It's a beautiful, peaceful place where burials are celebrations of life with as little impact on the environment as possible. Tony Weber founded it because he wants to leave a green legacy for his grandchildren, something many of us might feel. Learn more, visit the website mngreengraves.com. Give them a call. The goal is so meaningful, so positive, it might be right for you. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens.
Warning, stand-up records may cause intestinal distress, fits of insane laughter, instant diarrhea, existential malaise, headaches, nausea, dizziness, vomiting, seasonal affective disorder, more headaches, pneumomono-ultramicroscopic silico-volcanoconiosis. Stand-up records should not be handled by women who are pregnant, may become pregnant, have ever been pregnant, or personally know anyone who has been pregnant. Do not consult your doctor if he's operating heavy machinery. Stand-up records is for external application only. And stand-up records is, of course, good for a few laughs. So remember that standuprecords.com for the world's finest comedy CDs, DVDs, and merchandise. That's standuprecords.com. The revolution will be hilarious.
Even taking, okay, well, forget about all the parkland we had to donate. Forget about all the parks we had to build. We'll forget about all the exit ramps that we had to build, all the street upgrades we had to do, all the pedestrian causeways and walkways, and all the ad revenue that we had to give up, and all the other infrastructure maintenance projects we had to do that weren't part of this building, that had to be part of this upgrade. We'll just get rid of it. 1.2. We barely cleared a quarter of the cost with the freaking Super Bowl. How are you going to make up the cost? Huh? Even with your skewed numbers, the false number, how are you even going to make this money back?
Well, I got to root for the team.
Really? you know, maybe we should just make, well, then just go sell your house, put a mortgage on the house, and give that money to a billionaire and let them go build the stadium and leave me out of the whole thing. How about that? How about you do that? If you want to keep the team here, fine. Just go mortgage your car, sell your car, mortgage your house, take all that money, give it to a billionaire and say, please keep the team here, and then I will stop complaining. But the problem is you guys want me to pay for this damn thing as well. And it's insanity. It is absolute insanity. Speaking of which, the BBC, in conjunction with Harvard, has put out an incredibly disturbing story that they've figured out in Puerto Rico on Hurricane Maria, 64 people did not die. Rather, 4,600 people died. 4,600. Now, there was no way on the planet. I can tell you right now, when Trump and the administration were screaming, only 64 people died. No, I knew that was a lie. You can't have that level of catastrophic damage done to an island and not have body counts in the hundreds. But when you factor in, once again, this is not liberal Matt McNeil. This is Harvard and the BBC. Probably two of the most trustworthy institutions you can put out there as far as this goes. And they basically say their conservative estimate is 4,600 people died because of Hurricane Maria. And not only because of Hurricane Maria, but because of Trump's ham-handed response at the recovery effort there. That people died, thousands of people died in Puerto Rico because we couldn't get medical care to them. We didn't care about them. We couldn't get them food. We couldn't get them water. That is a failure which is beyond comprehension. It is beyond comprehension. How in the world we allow this to happen? 4,600 people died. And once again, many of those people did die because of the hurricane. We do keep track of missing persons and also of certificates of death. We could find this out. The federal government won't allow us to do that. They don't want the number to be released. So through research, we figured out 4,600 people died on Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico alone. Puerto Rico alone. Many of those people died because of Trump's response. Many of those people died as a result of the storm. Needless to say, this is unacceptable in this day and age that we have that high of a body count in the United States of America and a president who goes, I don't care. And that really is, I don't care. That's not a part of the world that he cares about. And so they can die. We still have no idea where the near 1,500 children that Trump and his brown shirts, the ICE group, the immigration police officers, have ripped from their parents and lost. We still have no idea. And this is not about like they're about to get found. We have no idea where these kids are at. 1,500 children were taken from their parents on the U.S. border by the federal government, and they have lost 1,500 of those children. Oy. And they still don't have an answer outside of, you're going to crack a few eggs. Oy. And then just those two things together. And I brought those up because of Trump's tone-deaf response to Memorial Day, where he basically bragged about himself and said all the soldiers who died would be so happy because he was president. I've never seen anything so disgusting in my life. I really haven't. But my personal politics aside, this is a humanitarian issue. We have to remove this man from office if we're going to survive this presidency. Mike's up next. Till tomorrow. See ya.